Hi, this is Kim Catola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Catola.
Thanks so much for joining us at Cradle My Heart Radio. Tonight we have a recorded program for you, and then we will be returning live next week. I'm really excited, though, to bring you our guest, Carol McLeod, who is an author and popular speaker at women's conferences and retreats. She teaches the Word of God with great joy and enthusiasm, and she also has highly successful Just Joy outreaches, whether it's radio or an online Bible study. She hosts the daily radio program Defiant Joy, which is available in several national markets. She has been a writer for YouVersion, so she's been featured on their Bible app with devotionals for the journey set before him, Jolt of Joy, Joy to Your World. And she's also had a very successful 21 Days to Beat Depression. We're going to talk about that, a Bible study and an online outreach. Carol McLeod, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Oh, Kim, thank you so much. It's great to be with you today.
There are a lot of things that I want to talk with you about and get your wisdom on, and I want to give you a chance to talk about a new book that you have, too, No More Ordinary. But, Carol, I want to start with just your story and your experience and what happened in your life as a young wife that really planted the seeds of your ministry. We deal with child loss on this program, and you have quite a story in that area.
I do, Kim. I was married right out of college and worked for several years in my dream job, and then I got pregnant. And let me tell you, my destiny changed. And when I held our first little boy in my arms, I knew that I'd found the destiny that I had been called to. And so Craig and I had two little boys that were exactly 2 years apart, and we wanted to enlarge our family. And so I got pregnant, and I lost my first baby at 12 weeks. And then I got pregnant again and lost my second baby at 15 weeks. I got pregnant again and lost the third baby at 16 weeks. Got pregnant again and lost my fourth baby at 19 weeks and 5 days, which, as you know, Kim, is halfway into your pregnancy. I had felt life at that time. And then I got pregnant again and lost my fifth baby at 16 weeks. And as you can imagine, those were dark, desperate days for me. I could barely breathe. I was so depressed. The black hole was relentlessly calling my name. And during those days, I developed an addiction, and the addiction that I developed wasn't to over-the-counter drugs, it was not to alcohol, but the addiction that I developed was to the Word of God. And the Bible delivered me from depression, Kim, before my circumstances ever changed, because my battle with infertility went on for about 7 years. And let me tell you, the Lord delivered me from my depression without changing my circumstances. I was able to hold babies and rejoice. I was able to go to baby showers and bless the young moms. Now, Kim, after I lost five babies, then I couldn't get pregnant anymore. I stopped ovulating. And so I was on high doses of fertility drugs, addicted to the Word of God, and anticipating God's hand to move on my behalf. And so not only was I delivered from depression, but God developed the muscle of faith in me. I learned how to stand relentlessly against all disappointment and all discouragement, and to believe God in that place that I was in.
Mm. Carol McLeod is our guest, and the thought of one miscarriage, I know, I have not experienced that, but I know women who have, mm-hmm. is something that can set women back almost permanently in some cases if they cannot, you know, make sense of the experience, process it properly through a lens of God's love and the spiritual guidance that he provides us in his word. But five experiences, Carol, just an amazing thing. And I know that there are women who have suffered multiple miscarriages or multiple abortions that are listening to this program. And as you talked about how the Word of God became so important and so central to you,
mm-hmm.
how did you reach out to others? Were there people who were actually able to come alongside and help you with this, or were you able to express your need? I know I hear so often, especially in the case of miscarriage from women and with the taboo surrounding abortion, that it's a very isolating experience. People just don't understand, and there's no structure for that grief.
Yeah, and you know, Kim, one of the ploys of the enemy is to corner us alone. There's a scripture in the Old Testament where they're talking about how to bring down King David, and they said, get him alone, because then you can destroy him. And the tactics of the enemy have not changed in the thousands of years since King David sat on the throne. And so for the women who are listening today and who are going through emotional pain, whether it's due to abortion or miscarriages or infertility, or maybe, you know, it's rejection or divorce. Listen, don't go through it alone. The plan of God the Father was never that we would do life alone. For me, I had a very supportive husband who stood beside me during those days of disappointment and sending babies to heaven. You know, Kim, four of those little lives I held in my hand. And I'll never forget, in the labor and delivery room of Duke University Medical Center, the room was filled with doctors and interns and NICU specialists. And when we sent the fourth baby to heaven, Kim, my husband began to sing over me, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." And so for your listeners today who know well that dark hole of depression that I talked about earlier, don't face it alone. As I said, for me, I had a supportive husband, and I did have a very small circle of friends that I leaned on heavily during those days. And you know what, Kim, for your listeners, it doesn't take an army to get you through a hard time, does it? One or two encouraging, understanding sisters in the Lord can really hold your hand through the valley of the shadow of death. And so, you know, as I said, one of the ploys of the enemy is to get us to face pain alone. Don't do it. Reach out to somebody else. Reach out to somebody else who's been where you have been. Invite a couple women to your home and have a prayer meeting. You set up the coffee date, but don't go alone.
That's really beautiful advice, and I think it's so practical, too, because if we're experiencing isolation, it's very easy to think that that is something God has ordained for us, which is never the case. He's all about relationship, and feeling isolated is often the very beginning of that downward spiral. I want to talk with you about an outreach that I mentioned in passing and learn more about 21 Days to Beat Depression. That's still available on your website, and it was a remarkable home run. Tell me about this program and how it, what inspired you and how it came to pass.
You know, Kim, I just know that we all have maybe a sweet spot in life. We all have an assignment in life. And because I have experienced the raw and debilitating pain of depression, I want to help other women find victory over it like I did. And one day my staff was sitting around my kitchen table. We had prayed. We'd asked God to to help us dream with him. And one of the girls on my staff said, you know, I just read that January 21st is the most depressed day of the year. And we said, really? That's fascinating. And then another one of the girls on my staff said, that's interesting because I just read that it takes 21 days to break a habit. And we realized that number 21 was the similarity. And so at my kitchen table in the middle of winter, we came up with this strategy called 21 Days to Beat Depression. And it's a blog every day to read. It's a podcast to listen to. It's a Bible verse to declare. It's a practical application, Kim. Like some days it might say, pay for the person's coffee in line behind you. Some days it might say, call your pastor and see if there's somebody you can go visit. Some days it might say, write a thank you note to somebody who meant a lot to you as a child. But every day there's a way to reach out to somebody else. And so we crafted this social media strategy called 21 Days to Beat Depression. And when it had gone live for only 48 hours, Kim, I can't remember the exact figures, but it was about 70,000 media outlets had picked it up. It crashed our website.
And that's a good problem.
I know, it was a great problem to have. That God had given us something extraordinary, because four women sitting around a kitchen table can't dream up something this big. Mm. And we realized that God had laid in our hearts and in our hands the ability to help people deal with emotional pain. Now, as you know, Kim, I am quick to say, I am not a medical doctor. If you're depressed, go see your medical doctor and do whatever he or she tells you to do. If you are depressed, go talk to a Christian counselor. They're trained. They can help peel back the layers of your pain. But in addition to those things, never forget the power that's only found in the Word of God to deliver you from your place of blackness. Psalm 119, verse 28 says this, my soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word.
Carol McLeod is our guest, and we're talking about her outreach, 21 Days to Beat Depression, and I love it. We'll perhaps dive in a little bit more after a short break, but one of the things that I want you to notice is that, you know, if you've had a conversation with a friend, or you've read a book, or you've done some praying, and your depression has lingered, think about the comprehensive approach that Carol has just laid out for us with reading a blog, watching videos, steeping ourselves in healing music, Bible verses, community, and constancy. All of these things contribute together to beating depression. And we'll learn more about that, as well as Carol's new book, which is called No More Ordinary, Very Inspiring Stories of Faith. When we continue, stay with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola. Our guest tonight, Carol McLeod.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm Kim Cotola. So glad that you're with us. Tonight it's a taped version of the program, and I hope that you'll be able to join us when we return live. Next week our guest is going to be Catherine Adair. She's a former pro-choice abortion service worker, now a pro-life advocate, speaking out with truth and encouragement to help women in crisis choose life. The primary focus of our program is to help people in the journey after abortion with the spiritual aftermath that follows in resolving these issues of guilt and grief. But those problems, guilt and grief, are common to so many, after so many life issues. And sometimes it's not even an action that we chose. And of course, many people who have been through an abortion feel that they didn't choose it. They may have been coerced. And if that fits you, I hope that you can continue to listen, continue to pursue the peace that passes understanding, because I have personally found it, and I can tell you that it is available to all of us as daughters of the King. It is what Jesus came to do, to bring us peace with God, with ourselves, with our own hearts. And tonight we're talking about finding that peace as well, about finding the joy in the journey as a Christian, with our guest tonight, Carol McLeod. Carol has written three books, including Holy Estrogen, The Rooms of a Woman's Heart, Defiant Joy, and her new release, I guess this makes it four, Carol, No More Ordinary, Living the Life That You Were Made For. And I just want to, in our first segment, we were wrapping up with talking about 21 Days to Beat Depression, a real comprehensive outreach that you have that went viral and that has benefited so many people who have taken part in it. And I guess I just want to give you this one more opportunity to talk just a little bit about the content. You shared with us the format, that it's a blog and some videos to watch with ideas for music to soothe your soul, as well as, of course, Bible verses and this community of knowing that you're part of what others are pursuing online. Tell me about the content. If I'm going looking and searching the scriptures for help with depression, I love that verse you gave us from Psalm 119 before the break. Where do we find our hope and comfort? Where's a good place to begin, or maybe even to camp out in the scriptures when depression is the issue?
Well, the good place to camp out, Kim, truly is in the book of Psalms, because if there is a Bible hero who dealt with depression, who dealt with diseases of the soul, it was David. And the thing that I love about David is that he worshiped the Lord in spite of his emotional pain. So just to give your listeners a takeaway from our radio show today, I just want to encourage them that if you're depressed because of miscarriage or because of abortion or because of a thousand other real life issues, I want to encourage you to be a worshiper, to worship the Lord in spite of and not because of. Listen, this is a theme in the Bible from the Old Testament to the New Testament, to the closing chapters of Revelation. It is a theme that every believer in every generation has to make the decision, will I worship the Lord or not? Will I praise Him when my life is collapsing or not? Will I count it all joy whenever I encounter various trials or not? Everyone has to make this determination. And so for your listeners today, I want to tell them, if you want to take a step away from depression, if you long to live a life of joy, then you will worship the Lord. You know, the Bible says that in His presence there's fullness of joy. That's Psalm 16:11. And so we know that to experience joy this side of heaven, we have to experience His presence. Where is God? Well, the Bible tells us where He is. The Bible tells us in the Psalms that God inhabits the praises of His people. And so you will find joy. Depression will lose its stormy grip on your life when you open your mouth and worship the Lord even when you don't feel like it. Listen, one of the scariest thoughts to the devil is a believer who determines to worship. Because listen, the devil cannot take eternal life away from us. And so what he tries to do is to steal us of abundant life. He tries to deny us of the joy that God has for us today on planet Earth. And so one thing I just want to say as a vital takeaway is worship. Worship in spite of. Worship when you don't feel like it. You know, Kim, a lot of people will say to me, well, Carol, that's not really genuine. That's not authentic worship. Oh, I beg to differ. I believe that the most authentic worship we can offer is when we don't feel like it. Because, listen, we don't worship our circumstances. We worship God.
Amen. Well, that's powerful. You know, and I think about the story that you shared with us in the first segment. If you're just joining us, our guest is Carol McLeod. And if you missed the first segment, be sure to go to cradlemyheart.org and listen for the full interview on podcast. We'll have that posted soon. You know, Carol, you talked about your husband singing over you in the hospital immediately following a miscarriage. And, this is, you know, it's so counterintuitive. And in fact, there's something in us that rises up against the very idea of it, you know, that we want to do the exact opposite, slink away or go withdraw, let's put it. But I can attest to what you're saying as being so effective, and you have to experience it in order to believe it sometimes, that even if you begin not feeling like it, as you praise, your feelings change, for one thing. I mean, that's been one of the most surprising things to me, is that worship actually changes our feelings, so you don't have to feel it first. In fact, it often ushers in a whole new set of emotions that are very unexpected in the moment when things are roughest. But I can tell you that what Carol is saying is true, and that it's a way that, and I know you know about this, Carol, I want to give you the opportunity to share and impart a little bit of wisdom. It's a way that our faith serves us when we exercise our will. It's taken me so long as a believer to mature into understanding the role of our will in our faith, that when we make a decision to do certain things, faith opens up and begins to flow. Talk about this decision in our will, especially related to depression or just responding to our circumstances in general.
Yeah, Kim, you know, one of the things that I often say when I'm out teaching is that we have made our feelings much too important. In the Western world, as Western believers, we have actually allowed our feelings, our emotions, to become idols. And we have built lives upon the sinking sand of our emotional responses to life. We think that we have a right to be angry. We think that we get to say everything we think, feel, and believe. And those things are lies from the enemy's camp. The enemy tries to attach us in an unhealthy way to our feelings, whereas the Word of God and worship want to tie us to the Spirit of God. Now, this is true from the first chapter in the Bible when Adam and Eve got to choose. Would they listen to the Word of God or would they listen to the lies of the enemy? And what the battle was about, you know, as human beings, God gave us freedom of choice. And you want to know why He gave it to us? Because it's powerful, Kim, because freedom of choice is a power that God has given to humanity. And so we must walk in it, and we must choose God in those moments when our emotions are roaring, when our circumstances are discouraging. We must choose the Word of God, and we must choose Him. You know, Kim, a couple weeks ago, I was in New York City. Our youngest daughter turned 20, and I was speaking in New York City, and she came with me, and we spent a day just sightseeing. Well, we would have been lost. We would have been lost and not accomplished anything except that a friend bought us a map. She bought us this incredible map that had every street, every major sightseeing thing you'd want to see on it. It had every subway, it had every train, and so that entire day we lived our lives by the map. Okay, to get from Central Park to Rockefeller Center, we take this train and we make this.
Right.
Okay, to get from Rockefeller Center to the United Nations, we take this subway and turn, and we didn't say to one another, well, I feel like doing this. We didn't say to each other, well, I feel like it might be this way. No, it was the map. And you know what? God has given us a map. to get through life. And if we want to live well, and if we want to get to our specific destinations, we must live our lives by the map. We must study it, and we must obey it. We do not do life according to our feelings. What if you want to do life according to your feelings, you're going to stay in a swamp. And a swamp doesn't go anywhere. A swamp is a place of disease and just being lost. That's where our emotions take us. But if we can rise above the swamp of our emotions and fix our gaze on the Word of God and choose God, enact our God-given choice to choose Him and to choose His way, we're going to live that abundant life that He wants us to live.
Carol McLeod is our guest. Stay with us. We'll continue after a short break. You're listening to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola.
This is where the healing begins.
Back live to Cradle My Heart with Kim Cattola.
Welcome back to Cradle My Heart Radio. Tonight our guest is Carol McLeod, and we are taped tonight, so if you want to learn more about Carol's ministry, of course, you can go to cradlemyheart.org, and also while you're there, check on our upcoming programs, and we've always got, we hope, some helpful articles posted, lots of great resources, links to our social media. It's all there at cradlemyheart.org. Carol McLeod, our guest tonight, is an author, popular speaker at women's conferences and retreats, and she really is an inspiration. She helps women live with joy. Her organization is called Just Joy Ministries, and she's quite an encourager. And Carol, I want to talk about your new book, No More Ordinary, because these are such inspiring stories to help us live the life that we were made for. And I love to know how you go about, you know, putting a work like this together. These are inspiring stories. How did you select them? How long did it take you to collect these stories? And who do you profile in the book, No More Ordinary?
Oh, that's a great question, Kim. You know, my dad was just a general in the faith, and I was raised at his knee, and I would get up early every morning just to be with my dad. And he would be in the kitchen with a cup of coffee reading his Bible, and he'd read the Word of God out loud to me, and we'd talk about Scripture. This was as a little tiny girl. And then what my dad would do is he would tell me the story of a man or a woman, and generally with my dad it was a missionary story, of someone who lived really well at their moment in history, of a man or a woman who gave everything they had to the cause of Christ and to the kingdom of God. And so I grew up as a little girl. I love Louisa May Alcott and Laura Ingalls Wilder and all those people. But, oh, the people I really loved were Darlene Rose and Corrie Ten Boom and Ruth Bell Graham and Hank and Betty Stamm. They were men and women who lived for the kingdom of God in spite of persecution and in spite of living without creature comforts. And so when I began to pray about this book that I was writing, No More Ordinary, Living the Life You Were Made For, Kim, I realized that many of us make excuses. We use our circumstances as an excuse as to why we are unable to live an abundant life. We use things like health or income or relationships, lack of education, as to why we're not really living the life that God made for us. And the Holy Spirit jogged me my memory about these life stories of great men and women who lived full throttle for the kingdom of God at their moment in history. And so I just wanted this to be a book of no more excuses. That we can live well regardless of what our circumstances look like. And so I told the story in every chapter of a man or a woman who lived for the kingdom of God when their worlds were collapsing.
So you mentioned Corrie Ten Boom, and I think she's probably well known to most of our listeners. But if not, give us the thumbnail sketch of her life and what aspect of it you cover in the book, because her life story is so rich and so inspirational. But what's your focus with Corrie Ten Boom's story in No More Ordinary?
Oh, I love telling that story, Kim. So Corrie Ten Boom was never married. She was always overweight. She lived and worked in her family business through, you know, her entire adult life. And the one thing she found great joy in was teaching Sunday school. And at her church, they assigned her to teach what we would call today the special needs Sunday school class. And so she had a classroom filled with children who would never go to college, who would never get married, who would never do anything significant, and yet she taught the Word of God to them. She taught them that God would protect them from the mouth of the lion, just like he protected Daniel. She taught her children that God had a place of safety for his children in the middle of a storm, just like he did for Noah. Well, Corrie realized that these children were disappearing one by one from her Sunday school class and from the homes of their families. And she realized that the government was taking these children and putting them in institutions. Well, it wasn't long after that that Corrie's father gathered the family together and said, we're going to help the people of God. The Jewish people are being tortured by the sickest regime in all of history. And so the Ten Boom family built a hiding place in their home, a room where they could hide Jews. And the Ten Boom family saved over 800 Jews over the course of World War II, as well as hundreds of Dutch underground workers. Well, the Ten Boom family was betrayed, and the Gestapo arrived and took all of Corrie's family to prison. Corrie was the only one in her immediate family who survived the concentration camp. And when Corrie was released by a bureaucratic mistake from the concentration camp, she began to tramp the world for Jesus. And everywhere she went, she testified that there is no pit, that God is not deeper still, that God gives us the love to forgive our enemies. And the life of Corrie Ten Boom is a profound example of how to live for the cause of Christ when everything around you is crashing in. If we've got time, I just want to tell the end of how my life collided with Corrie's life. I was on staff at a Christian university in the late 1970s, and Corrie came and spoke to over 3,000 students in our chapel, and the campus chaplain, Brother Bob, whispered in my ear at the close of service, Carol, run to my office and get Corrie's coat, because we're going to rush her out of here right when chapel is over. So I hurried to the chaplain's office, and I picked up Corrie's coat. And let me describe Corrie's coat to you. It was gray, and it had a dingy, matted fur collar, and her coat was so worn and so out of style that I wondered if Corrie had worn this coat since World War II. And I rushed through the empty halls of the chapel to meet Corrie at the back door when I felt like I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say to me, Carol, stop. And I stopped in that empty hallway, and I wrapped Corrie's coat around me, and I prayed a bold, audacious prayer. I prayed, God, give me a double anointing of Corrie Ten Boom. Give me a double anointing of what you've given to Corrie. And then, of course, I took her coat off, and I rushed down the hallway, and I put it on her elderly shoulders as she walked out the door.
Powerful. And, you know, what I love about your story is the reminder that, you know, no pit is deeper than God's love. His love is always deeper still, no matter how dark or, you know, devastating our circumstances are. But I also was not familiar with Carol before. I've heard you tell this story before. Before your telling, I was not familiar with the fact that Corey had been a teacher of those with special needs. You know, many of the people listening to this program are suffering because they followed medical advice to abort a child because of a poor prenatal diagnosis. In fact, these days, 92% of couples who hear that their child will have Down syndrome will choose to abort. And this idea that Corey stood with the weak and the powerless and paid such a high price with the loss of her entire family and the price of forgiving those who wreaked such destruction in the world is so inspiring. If you are a person whose heart has been touched by the need to stand on God's side with the weak and the disabled and those who are considered so much less than the handicapped, I pray that this story has been inspiring to you on this level, that it's really opened up a new room in your heart to follow the faith of a person like Corey and of a person like our guest, Carol McLeod, to see how far that will take you rather than, you know, as Henry Nouwen said, living in the house of fear and concerning yourself with, you know, being consumed by the needs of the needy. God will never allow that to happen to us. God will never allow you to be consumed by the needs of the needy. He will always provide.
You know, Kim, because of Corey's story, whenever I'm in town, and as you know, I travel a lot, I teach a Sunday school class at our church. And one of the little boys in my Sunday school class, he's 5 years old and he's autistic. And so, as you can imagine, he's a handful, and he takes every bit of energy my assistant teacher has as we try to teach the Word of God to this classroom of very lively 4- and 5-year-olds. And this little autistic boy is the liveliest. And a couple weeks ago, I was taking prayer requests. And, you know, children say things like, pray that I can have a kitty cat, or pray that my mom will get mad at me, or whatever. And when I got to Troy, he said to me, pray that I can change the world. And I couldn't help but cry, Kim, to see this little boy who's been labeled by our world that he's never going to amount to anything. And he looks at me with his big blue eyes and his freckles dancing across his face, and he says, pray that I can change the world.
Carol McLeod is our guest, and I hope that you are being encouraged. I hope that your joy is increasing as you listen to our conversation. It's time for another short break, and then we'll continue with our final segment. We're talking about her book, No More Ordinary, More Inspiring Stories, coming up tonight on Cradle My Heart.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola.
Carol McLeod is an author and a speaker. She's also written devotionals for the YouVersion Bible app. And tonight we're talking about her new book, No More Ordinary, Living the Life You Were Made For. And it's not only a collection of inspiring stories, life stories of others who have lived extraordinary lives, but it's a how-to. How to get there from here manual if you are feeling humdrum, if there's a sense in your heart that you're not living up to all that God has planned for you, this book will really help you find your way. And Carol, I just want to ask you about that. You know, what is the theme that really runs through this book that you feel probably limits most of us when we're talking about not reaching our potential as believers in Christ?
Well, you know, Kim, I was reading my Bible one day, and I was reading in John chapter 10, which is a familiar chapter to many believers, and especially verse 10. And Jesus is sitting with the disciples, with the band of brothers that he had handpicked to do life with while he was functioning in his ministry on planet Earth. And this is what he said to them in John 10:10. He looked at their faces. He looked deep in their souls. And he said, I'm going to tell you why I came. He said, I have come. And when I read that, Kim, I thought, wait, stop, hold the presses. Jesus is about to tell not only the disciples, but all of humanity why he was sent from heaven's throne to planet Earth. And he said, I have come that you might have life, and you might have it in its fullest measure. And Kim, when you look at that word for life in the Greek, it's not the word for eternal life. It's the word Zoe, which is meant to describe the type of life that's available only to those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior while they're living on planet Earth. I like to say, while they're living in the war zone. And see, to answer your question, the mistake that we make is that we allow the war zone of planet Earth to determine the kind of life we're living, rather than allowing a relationship with Jesus Christ to define the kind of life we're living. And so my book, No More Ordinary, is a look, it's a deep and enriching look at what Jesus meant by those words. What kind of life did he always mean for us to live while we're traveling on planet Earth, while we're sucking in oxygen? What kind of life did he mean for us to live? Because you know what? Jesus didn't just say it, but he gave us the tools to do it. He gave us the resources to tap into a life so rich and so rare that it says in Peter that the angels gasp. The angels bend over the gates of heaven and look at our lives as we live out the gospel story, and they long to live the lives that we have been given. And so, Kim, you know me better than your listeners do, but you know one thing is I try to be practical. And so in my book, I give practical ways that you can live a rich life in spite of the war zone. Every chapter has a scripture to declare, it has a prayer to pray out loud, and it has a meaningful quote just to get the readers to understand what this abundant life is all about. And every chapter is scripture rich. Every chapter holds the truth only found in the Word of God. And as you so beautifully pointed out in our last segment, every chapter tells a story of a man or a woman who lived well.
Carol McLeod is the author of No More Ordinary and several other books. We're discussing this one tonight in particular. And Carol, you know, as I'm thinking about the inspiration that you're providing us here, I think it's really important that we get a hold of this idea that the lives that we're living can improve immediately by thanking God for everything that has occurred by his hand. Because if I start to tell the story of God in my life versus just the story of my life, it becomes a really different story. And it becomes something that I can praise and be thankful for, because we know that he's good. And so I hope that as you're listening to Carol, maybe you're beginning to look at your life a little bit differently. Maybe you're starting to see that his presence in your life means you don't have to be bound by whatever has held you back, and you don't have to even tell yourself the same story about the very life that you've already been living. Carol, I want to give you the opportunity, as we close, to talk about, you know, if you just joined us, you can listen to the entire interview on podcast at cradlemyheart.org. But Carol shared a story of devastating child loss, multiple miscarriages and infertility. And you have a story of Susanna Wesley in the book. And I'd like you to talk about what you discovered about her life, because, again, for those who have experienced child loss on any level, her story stands as such a testament and such an inspiration for embracing life and allowing God to turn it into something that the world would never have imagined he could make it into.
Well, it really does, because if any woman had the right to throw in the towel of life and to give in, it was Susanna Wesley. Susanna gave birth to 19 children on Earth, and 9 of her children died as infants. Susanna's husband was a pastor, as was her father, but Susanna's husband spent a large portion of his adult life in debtor's prison for mishandling the family finances. Their house burned down twice, and during the second fire, her son John was nearly killed. Now, this gifted woman, this opinionated, strong, godly woman, homeschooled all of her children for 6 hours a day. She taught them Greek and Latin and classical literature and math and science. Now, Susanna's marriage was troubled. It was stormy. And Susanna's husband, Samuel, left Susanna for nearly a year because of a disagreement in their marriage. Now, faced with this kind of life, the kind of life that Susanna Wesley lived, most of us would crawl into a fetal position and stay covered in the blackness of a well-deserved depression. However, what Susanna chose to do and what she deserved to do were two different things entirely. Susanna was known as a woman who held the Word of God in high esteem. Every day, regardless of what was going on in her life, regardless of what her house looked like, regardless of what her finances were, she would spend 2 hours a day of study in the Word of God. And in addition to the delight of reading the Scripture, Susanna had a rich and vibrant prayer life that nothing was allowed to interrupt. Susanna pastored the church that was held in her home when her husband was away because of disagreement or was spending time in debtor's prison. And when Samuel was away and Susanna preached, the church would just blossom to over 200 people. But when Samuel was home, it would dwindle to really only their family. Not only did Susanna pastor their church and teach the children and run the farm and keep food on the table, but she also wrote commentaries on the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments. And this woman, Susanna Wesley, was an extraordinary combination of wit and compassion and commitment to the Word of God.
Well, Carol, we are out of time, but I appreciate so much you giving us just a little bit of a flavor of No More Ordinary. And if you want to read the book, it's available at all of the major booksellers and, of course, online at Amazon and all of the places that you purchase your books. Carol McLeod is our guest, and you can learn more about her ministry at justjoyministries.com, which we have linked at cradlemyheart.org. Carol McLeod, thank you so much for being our guest tonight. God bless you.
Thanks, Kim. I loved it.
Cradle My Heart Radio returning next week. We hope you'll be here then. And remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.